Have you ever wondered just how old is the old Saint Nicholas? And if you saw the promotion in the Friday newsletter, the e-blast, you notice that Saint Nicholas is not white, Saint Nicholas is brown. Nicholas was born at the close of the 3rd century in what is now the nation of Turkey. Probably around the year 280. He was the only child of wealthy Christian parents. Early in his childhood, his devout mother carefully taught him the scriptures. This included the gospel narratives, which tell the story of Jesus' ministry of love, justice, and sharing. Too soon, both of Nicholas's parents died during an epidemic and left their only child an orphan in possession of their great wealth. He had long been troubled by the magnitude of his parents' riches. For as a youth, Nicholas had wandered the streets, seeing with his own eyes how so many of the people were living in horrible poverty. Very similar to the legend around Buddha. He decided to dedicate his life to God. He remembered from the scriptures Jesus' demand that those who sought to follow him give up their wealth and material possessions. Nicholas decided that it was his duty to give all his family's money away to those in great need. He did not want to receive praise for his giving, for the Bible instructs that no one should offer, for the Bible instructs that one should offer gifts humbly. So he assumed disguises and gave out small sacks of gold to the poor and needy. That's right, he gave away the entire family fortune. When it came time for the Christian people of the province to replace the bishop who died, they chose Nicholas. Some said he was chosen by divine providence. For the chief elder was reported to have been told in a dream to select him. I suspect, however, the truth is that Nicholas's disguises were less than completely effective. The people of that region, knowing the identity of their kind benefactor, wanted some Christian individual to be their bishop. In any case, Nicholas was a good and popular bishop. And of course, legends grew up around him. It was said that he calmed ocean storms, thereby saving ships and sailors. That he had the power to bring dead people back to life. And that during one famine, he saved the people by magically multiplying the grain. All throughout his life, he remained the protector of the poor and the powerless. He still wore his bishop's robes and went out into the streets, dispensing gifts to the needy and the children. Always the children. So it's not hard to understand how Nicholas was canonized into sainthood by the Roman Catholic Church. He became the patron saint of seafarers, the needy, children, and several nations' people, including the Russians and the Dutch. 11 centuries later, Pope John Paul II decided that the miracle stories were too good to be true and busted Nicholas down to a mere mortal. But wait a minute, how did we get from the deeply religious Nicholas to a jolly, portly man in a red suit? True to the popular image of Saint Nick, Nicholas the bishop didn't have a bold and robust beard, But this is where the similarity ends. It is recorded that Nicholas was as skinny as a rail, a gaunt ascetic. He regularly fasted, taking food only twice every 7 days. He believed, as did many devout Christians of that day, that his own physical desire for food would distract him from the spiritual demands of his Christian life. Now compare that with Santa, as he is represented in our culture. Santa looks like he never passed up a meal in his life. He's a robust consumer. This Santa symbolizes our private desire to be generous to that small circle of family and friends we gather around ourselves. Sure, Santa still represents human love and generosity, but what a shift away from that nearly boundless spiritual vision of the human family to which Nicholas devoted his life. The evolution of Santa was gradual. Early Dutch settlers in the New World brought St. Nicholas with them. This included the holiday tradition of having the children put out their wooden shoes on December 6th, the anniversary of St. Nicholas' death. The children expected the kind saint to appear and fill the shoes with goodies during the night. By the second half of the 19th century, he had become the jolly, red-suited secular Santa we are all so fond of today. The American perhaps most responsible for transforming St. Nick from aesthetic saint to portly Santa was cartoonist Thomas Ness. And I remember as a child, his cartoons were all over the Coca-Cola ads. In 1863, he pictured Santa in a delightful series of drawings in Harper's Illustrated Weekly. Dr. Clement Moore, the Episcopalian seminary professor who wrote, as we heard earlier, for Beth, was the night before Christmas, also helped seal the round, jolly image of Santa into our collective unconscious. This makes more than a little cultural sense. In the American Victorian era, male obesity was considered a sign of prosperity and success. Santa would certainly be expected to have the air of a successful man. The physical transformation of St. Nick had a corresponding spiritual shift. Nicholas, the compassionate and devout bishop, who dedicated his life to selfless giving, that is at the moral center of the gospel of Jesus, lived the life of a radical Christian. He humbly followed the example of Jesus, neglecting his own personal needs and wants as he ever more widely cared for the poorest of creation's children. But that haunting image has been supplanted by a private and secular Santa who is kind, warm, fuzzy, and brings us nice and abundant things. The spiritual transformation should not shock us. The gospel of Jesus, which calls upon us to share our wealth and work toward a fair, just society, is not an easy gospel. St. Nicholas of Turkey is a stark reminder of poverty, pain, and need. We don't want to be reminded how keen the responsibility is for those who take Jesus' message seriously, to sacrifice for the sake of others, struggling for survival. So slowly but surely, we have in our culture gutted Nicholas of his stern, prophetic, demanding edge. Who shall it be this holiday season? Santa or Nicholas? Perhaps both. For children and for people of all ages, Santa represents gentleness, kindness, acceptance, and grace. A stocking full of coal is teasingly threatened, but in the end, Santa visits every home. He leaves something pleasing for everyone, no matter what. Santa is an agent of uncritical grace. This is a quality attributed to God in most world religions. So let there be no Santa bashing here. Good old jolly Santa is a positive presence in our holiday celebrations. He reminds each of us that we are unconditionally loved and cared for. But is this enough? Wholeness and hope during this holiday season can be better found by including the spirit of Nicholas. The holy healing trick is to expand our compassion to the whole human family, even as we embrace and enjoy our own circle of family and friends. And only then will we discover the true meaning of Christmas. Peace on earth, goodwill toward all people. Our benediction. In midwinter, the world comes indoors and is our guest of honor. Arms hug the arriving logs that clatter in to take their place by the fire. Mouths kiss the prickly branches of holly so elegant in green and red. The forest, which we called and asked to come, travels long roads to get here. Finally, she arrives, tired but still bursting with the energy of high mountain cascades and starry nights. She trundles across the threshold to be fussed over until she is comfortably settled in the living room. Soon the whole house is filled with the world's presence, and it is up to us now to make her feel at home. Let this be the year we fully welcome the world and treat her right, and lift our glasses in toast to her, the earth, and thank her, and keep our resolutions and mean it when we say, joy to the world.